This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
It's a 1st and 29. Torres does throw the football. It's complete. Breaking a tackle. Going for the score. Touchdown, St. Anthony's Nick Matos with the score.
And the throw came from Dante Torres. And Sims, I have no idea what has happened to Dante Torres. His stock has fallen dramatically. He only threw 3 touchdown passes last night. Guess how many times he threw the ball?
Tell me, Coach.
3. How are you, Matty?
Good to see you, brother. How are you, man?
Good. So they rolled last night on homecoming, 35-7. You know, had the big win against Iona.
Right.
And then Richie Beilein and C.J. O'Neal and Cardinal Hayes almost stole one from St. Anthony's last week.
What are we doing this year? It's a great year. We discussed this on the phone on our real radio show, the uncut version, the raw version, I should
with
say.
With that maniac Fooch in the
with
car.
With Fooch in the car.
Home.
Oh, well, don't even get me started on that guy. But, man, it's unbelievable just the parity this year and how many good football teams are. Right now, at this time of the year, public, non-public, public, it doesn't matter. I don't know who's going to win the championship. Last year, we had a good sense of, you know, who the front runners were. This year, man, matchups are extremely important. It's going to be really, really fun how the season goes this year.
Matthew, let me get through some housekeeping here.
Yes, let's do it.
The High School Football Show on 98.7 ESPN is presented by the All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one Ford Auto Group in the Northeast with locations throughout New Jersey and Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Visit allamericanford.net. And again, today at 1 o'clock, you will be heading out. I just text Pete Gambardello, the head football coach of Curtis, give me a good diner to go to out there in Staten Island, because the MSGSN game of the week, that's the old MSG Plus. So if your dad is listening, it's MSG Plus, MSGSN. And you could see our game, Canarsie taking on Curtis. Last night, Erasmus Hall won. So these are the 3 teams that will butter their bread at the end of the year. That's on MSGSN today, starting at 1. Sims and Cavallo on the call. Jimmy will join us in just a little bit for one question that will turn into 9 minutes. Friday night or Saturday football? High school. What do you like better?
Friday night.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Not me. Not anymore. Mm-mm.
Well, because you got to get up for the show in the morning.
No. I'd have to get up anyway, Sims. Okay? I just think, like, today out in Staten Island, it'll be spectacular. Last week at Stepanak, spectacular. Something about when the weather, when the temperatures drop.
Yeah, I get it. It's special. That cool fall vibe to it. And I am looking forward to today's matchup. This is my first experience in the PSAL.
Oh, it's different.
You know, and I am excited about that. And just looking at it, too, just Curtis looks like an unbelievable school.
It's spectacular.
It really is amazing looking. It looks like a Gothic, like, cathedral, you know, in the background behind that field. So I'm really pumped to see that. And
how about that new Lantec field that just got put in there?
Of course, the Lantec field. Natural grass, turf.
You're good, Sims.
Yeah, got it all. But, very, very exciting matchup, and I'm looking forward to it. And again, another league like we discussed where just there is – of course, I guess you want to say you want to lean on Erasmus Hall in this situation just because of a little bit more of a proven commodity throughout the years, but another league that we don't know how it's going to work out, and I think that's what's so exciting about this season.
Coach Pete just texted us, so we have a diner to go to.
All
after
right,
we
here
leave
we
the
go.
Show.
We're ready
so
to
we'll
go.
Be rolling in there. Sims, we're going to be joined in just a little bit by a guy. It's so funny. Like, I still call you a kid, your brother Chris. Like, if I covered you in high school, you're always kids.
Right.
Kevin Decker's the offensive coordinator for Fordham up in the Bronx. I've known Kev since he was the quarterback at Brunswick School up there in Greenwich.
Yeah.
He's going to join us today because what Fordham is doing, and we usually don't break away and do college interviews on this show, we have to get him on to talk about his quarterback, Tim Demarat.
No,
who
this is special.
Just special.
Special.
The Fordham leads the nation in touchdown passing, touchdown yards, all-purpose yards. They play Stony Brook tonight, and then next week they have a huge game. Or in 2 weeks, they have a bye next week.
Yes.
Go to Holy Cross. Now, Sims, before we get into this show,
right?
Question for you. What team in the tri-state has played running clock in all 7 games this year?
Man, I have no idea. But this is why you're the wizard.
Will you hang out for the rest of the show to find out?
Of course I will.
All right, give me a little music, Harv. Stepanak, Iona prep last week.
Yeah.
28-7, Iona preps rolling.
Oh, it's in trouble in the first half. But, man, switch flipped by the entire team. But this is what's really frustrating about Iona prep. Multiple situations where it's third and long, and they run the ball for a first down with a Johnny Shepherd. And it's just, it's ridiculous. I don't really know how you defend that because it breaks all just like common sense where it's like a screen, a pass, anything like that. Now, quarterback power down your throat,
unreal.
You know, by a 230-pound quarterback. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But, you know, that's the power of Iona Prep and the skill set that they have and just really the grittiness that they have because that Stepanak defense, they did a lot of really good things.
Yeah.
And unfortunately still gave up a lot of points, which is crazy. But that's another matchup that if that happens again later in the year, I don't know what happens.
Sims, as we sit here this year and we talk about the whole tri-state landscape,
yeah.
The guy that we've gone gaga about the most is Ian Strong.
Right.
Okay? I mean, from St. Anthony's, just absolutely terrific. Seeing Colin O'Garo, the running back for Iona Prep last week, I watched him on tape, but seeing him in person, boy, does he make running the football and catching the ball look easy.
Yeah, and he's just a great all-around football player. That's really what he is. He's a great football player, and he's one of those guys where I think Jimmy mentioned it on the air where Colgate is thinking about offering him. Well, I'll tell you this, Colgate. I don't know what you're doing. Okay, good.
They did.
Good. I'm glad to hear that because he does everything extremely well, and you don't see that often at that position anymore. Runs for power, runs for speed, catches the football great out of the backfield. You see he has good vision and awareness, you know, which are things that, like, I'm sorry, whoever the greatest coach is out there in the world, you can't coach that.
And
then there's the other side of the football with Stepanak and Jahi Gary.
Unreal.
I mean, coming out party against Iona. And I'm telling you, Iona Prep secondary covered extremely well down the field. And this guy made some unbelievable-looking plays. Him, Serge Lagardiere, and Bodie Ogg. Bodie Ogg is another sneaky, really good football player. It looks like he's going into the Ivy Leagues as a tight end. But, man, he is a really good football player. The Stepanak team, you know, we know Duvukai, what he can do. Will Kurd's playing tough.
Curry threw the ball 48 times. What's the most you ever threw a ball at Bosco?
I don't know. Maybe 30-something. But I'm jealous as hell with all these guys and what they're doing offensively. It is fun to watch. And really, this is the issue for Stepanak this season.
By the way, Gary is 6'5", 200 pounds. Thinks he's a basketball player. Not anymore.
I don't know. I mean, listen, you can go and play basketball, but I think you should practice a little bit more in football because you are a super talented Jahi.
Augie Hoffman,
you're a good football
player,
the
offensive line coach for Rutgers, was on the sidelines, and I am yelling at him during the game. Can we offer him now?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's definitely a guy that's on their radar for sure.
Now.
And to think about him and guys like Ian Strong or KJ Duff and all them, like, matched up and going and staying home in Piscataway would be a crazy, you know, thing. But just the athleticism by the entire team. What they need to do is they need to improve with Lorenzo Robinson at running back. He's a good running back. They need to be a little bit more patient in developing their run game because we've seen it so many times throughout the season. The team that runs the ball a little bit better typically wins the football game in these matchups, especially in high-scoring games, because they can control the tempo.
Bingo.
And they can control the line of scrimmage in crucial situations. And when it comes down to it, at the end of the game there, Stepanak just got worn out.
They did.
They really did. And, you know, with the Johnny Shepherd back there, you know, and Maltre Goddard running the football, he's like Jerome Bettis.
Syracuse recruit.
You know, Syracuse linebacker, but I'm telling you, he's just as impressive as a running back at the high school level.
Yeah.
And short yardage situations, good luck stopping that guy because he's 240 pounds back there with the Johnny Shepherd. You know, it's unbelievable.
Sims, who wins the CHSFL? We thought there could be a fourth team. Kellenberg got beaten by Holy Trinity. We'll have Holy Trinity next week on the MSG Game of the Week. We don't know who the fourth team is in the big boy division right now because Holy Trinity playing in AA.
Right.
Shame on them.
Which is crazy.
Okay?
Yep.
Who wins?
And they better win that one for sure.
They better. They better win today. I'm picking that game against Moore Catholic.
We know. Yes. Take it easy, Captain.
By the way, your picks were terrific last week.
Oh, what can I say?
I am in a free fall. Who wins the Catholic
this season?
League?
I don't know, man. I really don't. It is extremely tough to say. I would say that I'll give a slight edge to St. Anthony's, but man, there's a lot of buts, I would say, in that league. And it's, I kind of almost want to say the sleeper is Stepanak.
I agree.
I really do.
I love the way they came back.
Because I just think that they might learn and put it all together at the right time. But it's really kind of St. Anthony's to lose, I think, at this point, too.
Best tandem backfield in the tri-state. Go.
Don Bosco.
Yep. Yeah. No doubt. Yeah. Logan Bush.
That
Nolan
was a tough
James.
Question, though. I really had to think about that one. Well, you just threw that one at me.
I did, yeah.
But yeah, Logan Bush, Nolan James, and Nick Minicucci.
No, just, I told his dad
last night.
That
1-2-3 punch is ridiculous. And I've been saying it at Don Bosco forever that Nick Minicucci is a fantastic runner. You saw it last night. But man, Logan Bush, there was multiple times where it was
great feet.
He was getting stuck in the backfield, 2 or 3 yards behind the backfield. Seton Hall Prep did a good job of running some edge pressures to create havoc in the backfield. He made every guy miss every time. Broke every tackle, and that was what was so impressive about his performance last night, is that he made chicken salad out of chicken doo-doo multiple times.
You said doo-doo. Bosco goes to 5-2 with the 35-21 victory. Give Seton Hall Prep credit. They had that tough loss to Paramus Catholic last week, 20-17. Matt,
but we knew Paramus Catholic was going to do that to somebody this year.
Well, listen, they were leading St. Peter's Prep, and we'll get that. That was a wild game.
That is wild.
The fumble at the end of the half flipped the script in that game.
Connor Cosgrove.
It was going to be 21-21 at the half.
Connor Cosgrove with the play of the game for sure before half. It's going to go 21-21 at halftime. Connor Cosgrove. First of all, Julius Vaccari. Fantastic catch. Adjusting his body.
Good
reaching.
Player.
Really good football player. Liam Lottergan played fantastic last night. He played tough. I said it on there. Liam Lottergan reminds me of Nick Minicucci a year ago, where it's like you see flashes of like, whoa, this kid can be really good. But just the fact that it's his first year starting in such a tough league, there's a few lapses of just like, all right, he just needs to play a little bit more and get experience.
Is he one of your guys?
He is not one of my guys, but I'm impressed with what he does and how he plays, and I like that he's gritty and tough, and Fitzgerald is a great coach. I just love what he does there. I love his attitude, and everything about him. So Seton Hall Prep is in good hands. Their experience will obviously work in their favor eventually. Just right now, they're going through some growing pains, but that play by Connor Cosgrove, that is like, I'm just telling you, like Ike Garrow and all those coaches, Tanzer, when they go to coaching clinics, they're going to be like, this is how you rip the football away from an offensive player.
Yeah.
Connor Cosgrove gets his entire hand on the football, rips it out
of his
hand.
That's how Tanzer talks?
No, he doesn't. That was my coach talk. This is how every coach in the world motivates. But it's really, really unbelievable. And a guy that's new to defense did a fantastic job now. He's getting better at that position, at that safety position, back there with Nick Severin, that secondary. They're getting better. Bosco is learning how to play defense, getting better each and every week. They are going to be a tough matchup for anybody in the playoffs.
If you're St. Peter's Prep, are you happy you gave up 41 last night? You scored 70.
Yeah, you're not happy that you gave up 41, especially to a
Catholic
team that I would say, like, man, they're not, like, super impressive offensively.
Quarterback's playing well.
Quarterback is playing extremely
former
well.
Former Curtis kid.
Yeah, and that's the other interesting thing. And, we'll
transferred
get into
to
that.
Pandemic High.
Yeah, Pandemic High, that's right. And I talked about that on air last night, too, of just I'm a little disappointed in the state of New Jersey for, giving Paramus Catholic the kibosh
awful
for the semifinals, for the playoffs, excuse me.
Awful.
Because you could literally go to every team in this league and, just disqualify everybody. And we'll just name Bosco the champion, the league champion, as Fuchs would say.
You could go, that's good. You could go to public high schools and find guys.
Right. And that's my point. You're exactly right.
But I'll tell you this, I love what Russo's done. They got their hiney slapped, and they come out, they beat Seton Hall Prep, and they battle with St. Peter's last night. Hey, throw a couple scores at you. By the way,
go ahead.
Here's what I love. You played in the league for 6 years. You've taken your skill set to the highest level. And when that maniac Fuchs is reading you scores last night, you're like a kid on Christmas morning. Like, you love scores, don't you?
Oh, it's great. Well, it's just so fun. Like, just there is no way to predict how any of these games are. There are clear and obvious, oh, this team's going to win.
Yeah.
doesn't even play out that way in the closest bit. And that's what's awesome. It's turning – high school is turning into like a mini NFL where there's just so many good football players, and it is so minute to the matchups and how certain teams match up with each other. And that's what's exciting.
You were not surprised how well Landon DePrima played in a backup role last night in the upset victory over previously unbeaten Old Tappan.
And I didn't even know that he was getting the start last night.
You went wild when you heard
Jack
that in the
Russer
car.
Played the week before versus Riverdale, which they lost by 1 point, which is an amazing game. And Jax was gritty with the fact that he's playing through an injury. But man, Landon DePrima, 4 touchdowns. Shout out to Nate Burleson Jr. with 2 touchdowns in the game, you know, and moss somebody on one play. That was big. Benny Robinson, that whole crew, just really good performance by all of them.
How about Samaji Adams last night? 2 touchdowns for the Montes of Montclair. Robbie Stern, the offensive coordinator, they go old school, pound the football.
Yeah.
They trailed 10-0 against Ridgewood. They beat them 17-10. Ridgewood falls to 5-2. Montclair goes to 3-4.
And this, tell me you could have predicted that one.
No, not that's why
no
I gave
way.
You those two scores. Like it's just
great.
It's just unreal. And this Stern is telling me that this kid, Gage Hammond, their kicker, had a 47-yard field goal. He's saying he's the best kicker in the state. I don't know. Haven't seen him. But we will talk about a really good kicker in New York.
You hit a 47-yarder, you're definitely up there.
Sims, all right, here we go. I'm taking 2 from my poll out. Harv, give me a little music here.
Oh,
I'm taking
we're going to
2
the poll.
Real fast. I'm
let
taking
me,
2.
Let me find my notes.
I'm taking Seton Hall Prep out. I'm taking Pope John out. Who do you think I should bring in?
Man, so like I did last week, you got to bring in somebody from public, man. So
Erasmus Hall.
You're going to Erasmus Hall?
They
look at
whacked
you.
Tottenville last night.
Again, I'm showing love to Toms River North, to Wayne.
I could bring in
to
2.
To Wayne Valley.
So I'm bringing in North, and I'm bringing in Erasmus Hall.
Okay, all right. So those are good. I like those a lot.
Stepanak stays.
And really the biggest matchup of the day is clearly St. Joe's, Bergen Catholic, to see how that plays out. Because
picking that game, Sims.
That's why we're excited, Captain. But Wayne Valley, Westwood, I'm going to give a shout-out to Westside. Newark Westside's having a really good football season this year. Phillipsburg, Seneca, Delcie, even though we don't cover that area, just want to give those teams
West
a shout-out.
West Morris, Caldwell.
Yeah, And Caldwell had a great game versus Cedar Grove last night and won in a
28-7.
Yep. So
I think the winning streak is
it.
Like 21 now.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, Cavallo wasn't giving you this 2 weeks ago.
No, he definitely was.
All right,
not.
We got to get ready for the OC of the highest flying FCS school in America, the Rams of Fordham. When we come back,
Rams
on the,
with wings.
The Jets High School Report powered by Gatorade. We will step away for a second.
Yes, sir.
And we will give a little college because we need to tell the story of the quarterback up there in the Bronx. We'll
and
do that when we come back. That's right. All right, we'll do that. Hit it, Harv.
This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
Here we go, Harv. Jets Player of the Week. Give me the music. Let's go out to Staten Island, New Dorp High School. This guy, Anthony Luna, two-way standout. Last week, they beat previously unbeaten Truman, 35-16. 5'10", 179 pounds. Coach Brian Murphy's guys, because of Luna, they go to 5-0 today. They will beat 5-0 Randolph Campus on the season. This guy, Luna, doing it on both sides of the ball. Running hard, making big plays, the whole thing. Hit me that Fordham music. Hit it more. And, of course, the Jets Player of the Week is sponsored by Gatorade, and they will receive a $1,000 donation from the Jets and Gatorade in their name to support their high school football program. So, Luna, you're bringing $1,000 over there to New Dorp on Staten Island. Okay, our next guest has his offense, has his team rolling to 626 yards a game.
Say what?
They beat Wagner. In the Wagner game, they scored 48. In the Monmouth game, they scored 52. In the Albany game, they scored 48. In a loss to Ohio, they scored 52. In a victory against the Hoyas, they scored 59. And last week, they only scored 40. They are averaging an FCS best 49.8 points per game. The pride of the Brunswick School up in Greenwich, Connecticut. My buddy, the offensive coordinator for the Rams of Fordham, Kevin Decker. Coach, how are you, bud?
I'm doing great, Mike. I'm doing great. Minus that 40-pointer we had in our last game, man. We got to punch it in the red zone next time a little bit better.
I heard your father was upset with you after the game that you only scored 40.
He was. He was questioning some ball inside the five play calls, and I wasn't too happy about that. Kev, you know I hate the jump ball to the back pylon. I said, I know, Dad, but if we executed it, you would have loved it.
Oh, you hit him with the execution line. I love it, Coach. I love it. Keep him honest.
Coach Decker's father is one of my favorite parents of all time doing this tri-state stuff. So you guys have it rolling tonight at 6 o'clock up at Coffey Land Tech Field. You take on Stony Brook, and your quarterback – you know, it's funny. I was talking to Cavallo and Matt last week, Coach Decker, and this is Coach Kevin Decker, the offensive coordinator for Fordham University. And he's like, you need to call your boy Decker and get him on the show because this quarterback, this story needs to be told. Tim Demarat, your quarterback, a Florida kid, fifth-year guy up at Fordham, is throwing up numbers, Coach, that are mind-boggling. He's the, what, in the last 25 years, he's the quickest, I guess we'll call it 1AA, quarterback to throw 30 touchdown passes. How's he doing it, and how are you guys doing it?
One, I think it starts with the job we've done recruiting. We have, like I told you, we got 8 guys on the field, you know, who can make a play at any given moment. And Timmy is the point guard of the whole operation. And he's doing a great job just staying within the offense. That's what I tell him all the time. I say, stay true to what we're teaching you. You're accurate as hell. If you just take these coaching points and stay within the offense, you're going to make plays. And, you know, I think his accuracy is his best attribute. You know, when a play is designed well and it works, that ball needs to be put on that guy in stride. And he does that on a consistent basis right now, and he's reaping the benefits of it.
Yeah, that's great, Coach. And just watching some of your highlights, or, you know, Tim's highlights, it's just so impressive, you know, what you guys are doing offensively and obviously his command of that offense. Who would you say was your biggest influence as a coach, you know, coming up through the ranks, and who's really kind of put their stamp on who you've now become offensively as a guru, I should say?
That's a great question. You know, early on, schematic wise, it was Chip Kelly, because that's obviously the guy who recruited me to the University of New Hampshire. And he's done on to do tremendous things. But even if you look at Chip right now, he's different from what he was at UNH in Oregon. And, you know, likewise, I was kind of running that scheme when I was at Brown. But then we had an intern, a kid who came in from the University of Central Florida, where Josh Heupel was. So I just pulled the kid aside one day. Actually, Mike, I had bags on from Iona. He came to the office, and we were there late just talking about some things. And the intern kid, David Weeks, is in the back office. When I got done with Spags, I was just like, hey, Weeks, you were at Central Florida, right, with Josh Heupel. They were scoring a million points. What were they doing?
Right.
And Weeks just got on the board, and I'm like, wow, this kid knows the offense pretty well. And that was right before COVID. So I just started asking him questions, looking at his old playbooks. And now we are literally running what Tennessee is running, with the wide splits and thinning out the box and, you know, just playing where the grass is. So I think, you know, early on it was Chip, but right now, if you look at what we're doing, there's a lot of Josh Heupel in it.
And where is Leaks now?
Weeks is our tight ends coach at Fordham.
Yeah, there you go.
I knew he wasn't too far.
Hey, man, you go to Brunswick. Yeah, you're smart.
Yeah, you're a smart guy. I like you, man.
Hey, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out keep that kid as close to you as possible.
Yeah.
Kev, when Joe Conlon, the head coach at Fordham, took the job in 18, called you in 19, said, hey, I'd love to come have you come up here and work with us. Take a look at this quarterback we have. Who sold you on coming to Fordham? Was it Coach Conlon or this guy Timmy playing quarterback?
It was I was coming back from the convention in San Antonio. I flew into Rhode Island. I was done at Brown. I was driving back to New York with no job. And Conlon called me and said, hey, I'm going to give you OC. And I was like, that's tremendous. How's the quarterback? He said, he's a big kid who can spin it. And that was all I needed to hear. Give me a kid who can put the ball on people, and I'm sold.
6'4", 220 pounds. Matt, we're coming up in the elevator this morning, and this is Kevin Decker, offensive coordinator from Fordham University, whose offense leads the FCS in scoring and passing. And Sims is like, Mike, it's unreal. He's going to have over 1,100 throws in his career. You know, I asked you when you were at the University of New Hampshire, how many throws did you have? And you thought you had, what, 350 or four your senior year?
I would say something like that, yeah.
And by the way, this guy Decker was a finalist for the Walter Payton Award. Right now, you would think that Demorat will win the Walter Payton Award. Does he get caught up, Coach Decker, in stats, or is he all just about winning? Is he aware of what he's doing?
Guys, I wish, I hope you get to meet the kid. He's the most unassuming kid in the world. He probably couldn't tell you his stats. He's won the Conference Player of the Year the last 2 years. I'm telling you guys, it sounds cliche. The kid don't care at all. Mm. All he wants is to win a Patriot League championship and play in the playoffs. And me, as a coach, that's all I want for him. Mm. So I'm working my butt off trying to put not only Tim, but our guys in a place they haven't been before, and that's going to be the playoffs here. He's a great kid, humble as heck. The student body loves him. I see, you know, regular students on campus all the time, and they'll say, "You coach football." I say, "Yeah." I say, "We love your quarterback, Tim." Mm-hmm. He's just the nicest kid in the world. So he's all about winning, and I'm happy we're finally doing that right now on a consistent basis.
Sims, when you were in college, Louisville, Tennessee, did you live with your offensive line? Because that's what Demerit does.
The guy that they were blocking. I lived with that guy.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Because yeah, I was on the ground a lot. But, you know, Coach, I just want to make a quick mention, too, of Fotis. I'm trying to pronounce this as well as I possibly can. Kokosoulis. Is that correct?
You nailed
Coach?
It, Matt.
Man, all right, good. I did my homework. Sims. The receiver for you guys at Fordham, you know, is he one of, like, honestly, Coach, how do you get him open as often as you do? Because everybody knows that he's the number one target, and for whatever reason, his stats are just as ridiculous as Demorat. You know, what is your focus each and every week for him and getting him the football in space?
I think it's not only him, and this is true. We don't call plays for the ball to go to a certain guy. He's our slot receiver, and we also have two really good outside receivers in DeKeese Carter and MJ Wright. So the last two games, Fotis has been a little quiet. But if you look at the outside guys last week, MJ Wright, our outside guy to the right, had 226 yards and two touchdowns. And then DeKeese Carter had 130 yards and a touchdown. And Fotis had, like, I think 5 for 40, and our other slot had 8 for 80. And if you actually look, I'm not looking at the stats till after the season, so I can't tell you exactly where everyone stands. But our receivers coach, Coach Aselta, told me yesterday, "Have you looked at the total receiving yards throughout the country?" I said, "No." Fotis is 1, MJ, our outside guy, is 2, and DeKeese, our other outside guy, is 4 nationally. So,
well, it's not surprising when your quarterback is thrown for 2,600 yards already in six games, 30 touchdowns, just 4 interceptions. And the biggest number, 67% of his passes are complete.
Yes. And I think if you look at, you know, the COVID year, the 3-game season, we weren't totally committed to this offense, and he was 72%. Then we totally committed to it this past year, and it involves a lot of choice routes where the receiver and the quarterback got to be on the same page. And Timmy was only 59%. Now we're going into our second year fully committed to this thing where him and the receivers are kind of on the same page more in terms of where the grass is and where they're going to run. And he's at 67. So Timmy, I think, is very comfortable, but it's also being smart and being patient. Like, Tim's a very confident kid. And like I told you, Mike, we're 100% RPO. Mm-hmm. But if it's 3rd and 2, and we have an RPO call, and the pass option has a press corner, and that's going to turn into a, you know, a deep shot. Understanding the situation and giving the ball or just reading it, run, in those kinds of situations to play the percentages. Like I tell them, be Brian Cashman. We're all about analytics. What is the higher percentage efficient play? And he has really, really gotten comfortable with that, and I think that's why you see his percentage going up from last year.
Oh, come on, Coach. Throw the ball down the field, man. What are you talking about?
Hey, you know what, Matt? Sometimes in practice, he will.
Yeah.
He will take the deep shot, and good. I say, hey, I don't overcoach the kid. I really don't, man. I say, hey, good. You take that throw. You better complete it. But even if he doesn't, you complete 50% of deep shots, that's going to be a pretty good amount of yardage.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, if you're doing that you're on to something. And tell us, Coach, just what did you see in Dante Torres as a
– Oh, God.
Are you allowed to talk about him? I just want to make sure.
Oh, yeah, sorry. You're right. I apologize. I know. Yeah.
No.
Silly rules.
I was just, No, what I saw in Dante was Tim. What I look for first and foremost is consistent accuracy, and Dante has that. Just like Tim, he throws an extremely, extremely catchable football. I don't know how many quarterbacks I saw live, probably, 150, maybe more. And like I told our head coach, this kid is head and shoulders above anyone else that I saw. If we can get him here, this kid can be a hell of a player and put up some big numbers. And plus, he's got the frame. He's a big kid. He's got wide shoulders.
He's very similar to Tim in a lot of ways.
He is, and there is so much personality-wise of Dante in Tim. Talking to the kid, extremely humble. Like, they just won a game, I think it was 2 weeks ago. I think Dante had 7 total touchdowns.
Yeah, against Iona Prep, yeah.
Yes, he threw for 4, ran for 3, I believe.
Yep. He had a terrible night last night. Coach, he had a terrible night last night. He only threw 3 touchdowns against Fordham Prep.
Yeah,
he only attempted 3 throws.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he was 3 for 3 for 100-something yards and 3 touchdowns. Yeah. So
see, that's what I'm saying, man. He's got accuracy. I'm assuming some of them are deep shots too. But he's actually coming to our game tonight, so I'm excited to see him.
Oh, good. Well, you know what? Matt and I got to get up there, Coach. We got to come watch either a game or a practice one day. It's so good to see you. You know how I felt about you in high school. You made that Brunswick. Hey, that Poly Prep Brunswick game, double overtime.
Yeah.
Decker corner of the end zone towards the school side. You beat him. That was probably the biggest win in the history of Brunswick school football. What do you think?
It put us on the map, and you helped us being there. MSG, Snapple, Varsity Game of the Week, and let's forget about the 3 interceptions I threw in that one.
Hey,
too.
Doesn't matter.
Yep.
Doesn't
all
matter.
All that matters is the last one,
hey,
Coach.
You brought it up, not me.
I would absolutely love to get you guys on campus, especially me, Tim. And, hey, Matt, you, me, and Tim can have a little accuracy challenge, do a little crossbar challenge or something.
Oh,
let's go,
oh,
Coach.
Oh, I love
I'm
that.
I'm telling you, man, you just opened up a whole can of worms, bro.
Kev,
yeah,
you
got to
see. Oh, my God, Sims is so excited
up.
Right
I'm
now.
So excited. I'm totally there.
I got a bone to pick. I got a bone. Me and Matt were the same year. We were at BC camp together. I wanted the BC offer, but no, Matt Sims was their guy, man. They wouldn't pull the trigger on me.
Oh, Coach, don't give me that, all right?
I'm going to tell you right now, this guy coming out of high school had New Hampshire, Hofstra, UMass. That's it. A lot of people made a mistake on Kevin Decker.
Yeah.
Not Fordham, not Conlon, bringing him in to run the offense, the number one show in FCS football. Coach Kevin Decker, our buddy. Best of luck tonight, pal, and we'll be in touch, and we'll get up there to see you real soon.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
All Thank right, you, Coach.
Awesome. You know, I hope Conlon and Decker are sending Timmy's mom flowers every week because he did not want to come up and visit Fordham.
Oh, really?
She made him. The only other offer he had was South Dakota. She goes, you get up to New York City. Fell in love with it.
Man, that worked out pretty well for everybody.
All right, we got to go because we got to save some time because Cavallo's calling in and God only knows
God,
how long
go.
That's going
to
go. We'll be back in just a bit on the Jets High School Football Report powered by Gatorade.
This is the Jets High School Football Hour fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims. Now back to the Jets High School Football Hour. Here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
Hey, at MSGN, MSGSN this afternoon at 1 o'clock, we'll be out at Curtis on Staten Island when Brooklyn's Canarsie comes over the bridge to take them on. You and Jimmy will be on the call today for MSGSN starting at 1 p.m. The High School Football Show on 98.7 ESPN is presented by All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one Ford Auto Group in the Northeast with locations throughout New Jersey and Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Visit allamericanford.com. And, of course, the High School Show is also presented by Spectrum. Introducing Spectrum One, the future of connectivity is fast, secure, and reliable. Internet advanced, Wi-Fi, and mobile for just $49.99 a month. One connection, totally connectivity. Restrictions apply. Connectivity. Visit Spectrum.com for the details. You went down to Rutgers practice the other day.
Yes, sir.
Nunzio Campanelli, now the interim offensive coordinator.
Yes.
What quick observation, what did you see when you were watching?
Quick observation, just could definitely feel just a little bit more just juice and life back into the program with that move. I think Ray Shano, obviously it's always an unfortunate event when you're firing someone that, you know, you've got to know personally. You know, he has a family, he has a life too, Coach Gleason. He'll go on to good things in the future of his career. You know, it's not the end all be all, but, you know, an opportunity here for Nunzio to, again, you know, prove to everybody how good of a coach he is. He's in a tough situation, just like he was in the interim head coach a few years ago. And, you know, Nunzio is up for the challenge. It's a hefty challenge, though, for sure, because he's going to be operating someone else's offense, someone else's terminology, and just getting that organized is, you know, is a big to-do. But if anyone can do it, it's Nunzio, and I'm excited for him, and I know he's going to be, you know, working his tail off. And I know he's probably in the office right now as we speak.
I think he's going up to the St. Joe's Bergen Catholic game today.
Oh, he is good. He needs a little break out of the office because he's been nonstop here for, you know, basically 3 days in a row since he was named offensive coordinator. But so excited for him. And the team, you could feel, is a little bit more juiced up because of how much they believe in Nunzio as a coach.
All right, let's bring your broadcast partner on. You guys will be on the call today. Canarsie at Curtis, 1 p.m. Jimmy Cavallo, real quick, because we are super heavy.
Of course.
Your thoughts? this is what you did to me when I was in Aruba. So your on Canarsie, Curtis, give me a quick bullet point from each coach, and then I got to rip around the tri-state.
I mean, listen, Brian Ellis, what has he got? He's got the big villain. He's got Bruce Eugene on the staff. We remember Bruce Eugene when he won the title at Grant Street Campus in 2015. Ellis was his assistant. Now he brings Eugene aboard. Listen, they're in a now situation. Going up against Curtis, that beautiful, what do we say, Matt? Lantech Field out there,
spectacular.
Curtis? I mean, listen, Curtis, they opened the doors in 1904. It was the first high school on Staten Island. But what they are, they've been probably the most consistent PSAL program. You know, going back to the Freddie Oliveri days, they won in the 90s with Stephen Gregory. They won in the early 2000s. They won in the mid-2000s. You know, they went to this title game a year ago against the Standard, Erasmus Hall. Look, boys, Erasmus is the three-time champ. We need to find out today at 1 o'clock on MSGSN who is the number one contender, because it runs through Erasmus. We're going to find out today who's going to get to the final day and take on the Dutchman.
All right, pal. We'll see you in just a little bit. I'm going to rip around the tri-state.
Hey, listen, the diner, Mike, you got to go to Bakery and Scungili. You remember Easy Money, the movie? That's where Rodney went. Go to see Bakery and Scungili. Have a cup of coffee. Get your day started on the fifth borough, Staten Island.
Get rid of them, Harv. Very nice. Give me some music. Quick rip around. Erasmus Hall goes to 3-2 on the season, 34-0 over Tottenville last night. They ran for 231 yards. Westchester, Rockland County, we're going to go fast. Pelham, unbeaten no more. Somers last night goes to 5-0, 41-0. Ravi Das, 4 carries, 91 yards, 3 touchdowns. Mamaroneck beats New Rochelle 32-25 for the first time since 1993. Quarterback Jason Cox, 10 of 13, 140, ran 16 times for 56 yards and 3 touchdowns. The defense turned the Huguenots over 4 times. Clarkstown South, no longer undefeated. Rye coming off the loss to Harrison, their rivals. They win last night. Go back to that Harrison game last week. This kicker, Nick Reed, Jimmy turned me on to him. Best kicker in the state of New York, Sims. 3 of 4 field goals. The only miss was a bad snap, but he almost pulled off an unbelievable 2-point play on the bad snap. Made a great throw. 44-yard long field goal. 5 of 5 kickoffs in the end zone. In Connecticut, Greenwich coming off a loss to Southington. The Cardinals were the preseason number one. They lost that game 29-28. They led by 21 points in the first quarter. Last night against St. Joe's, they go into the fourth quarter up 14 points. They almost gave that away, but quarterback Jack Wilson, he stole the show. 245 yards passing and a touchdown, ran for 3 scores, 33-21, and the game winner from 4 yards out with 2 minutes left. Cheshire, Fairfield Prep. Fairfield Prep needed to win. Cheshire was undefeated. Prep had just 1 win. They trailed 10-0. Their offense really didn't do much, Sims. Didn't matter because they returned a fumble for a touchdown, 64 yards, blocked a field goal, scoop and score, 80 yards. They win it 33-10. We talked about Rutherford. I said in the beginning, who's the team that has played running time all year? Rutherford. They have not played a game in real time. Second half, get it and go. Van Weber, the quarterback that we really like in the NJIC semifinals, was 9 of 12, 168 yards, 4 touchdowns, all in the first half. They go to 7-0 next week in that league championship. They will take on 7-0
Woodridge, Joey Catrona. Their defense has not allowed more than two touchdowns in a game all year. The first time, seven wins in a season since 77. They win in overtime 21-14. Braden Negro, the quarterback, involved in all three touchdowns, including the one-yard game winner in overtime. Say something.
Was that a cue to me? Okay.
Yeah.
congratulations, Joey Catrona. He was on the staff when I was at Don Bosco, and he's a great dude, great leader, and glad that he got that program turned around. They're in good hands for sure with that guy.
Wes Morris goes to 8-0, handing Randolph the Rams' first loss of the year, 34-19. Colin Leonhart, tough guy, plays hard on both sides of the ball. Stefano Montello, 33 carries, 171 yards, and two touchdowns. When we come back, picks. And now I'm focused. I've been playing around all year. Not anymore. Harv, get me to break because I got to do some studying. We'll be right back.
This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
You went 2-1. The Wizard went 1-3. For the season, you're 7-3, and I am 8-2. Harv, here we go!
You're 8-2?
No, 8-10, I'm sorry.
Thank you. 8-10.
I thought I could slip that in there.
Wow, look at that.
Canarsie, Curtis, 1 p.m., MSGSN, you and Cavallo on the call. Now the season gets real in the PSAL. What Erasmus did last night to Tottenville, as Jimmy said, they're the one. Who becomes the two and plays a home game in the semifinals? Or who controls their own destiny by winning this game and having a shot to knock off Erasmus? This is going to be a high-scoring game. And there's going to be a lot of hitting. There'll be a lot of penalties. At times, it will get undisciplined. But I think the more disciplined team will win and the team with the better quarterback will win.
Right.
That's why I like Chris Afarnas and Curtis. I like the receivers. I like them to win this game 40-34. Pete G and the boys win it to go to 4-2 on
all
the
right.
season. 5-1 Bergen Catholic at 3-3 St. Joe's. St. Joe's has scored 234 points this year.
Wow.
They've given up 220. Bergen has scored 175 and given up just 79. I think this game is much bigger for Bergen Catholic than it is for St. Joe's.
Okay, I agree with that to some extent. Yes, I agree with that. It's one of the biggest rivalries in our state, so I think it's that would be a toss-up. I think both teams are very aware of the situation and how this could play out.
Be careful, Bergen Catholic. St. Joe's was tied with Good Counsel first game of the year, gave up big plays. Week two, let DePaul get back in it. They won it. Bosco, they were right there. The quarterback gets hurt. Who knows? St. Anthony's, they give up 49 to
them.
And last couple weeks ago, they had St. Peter's beat. This is a very deceiving 3-3 team. Sims, go. Who do you like?
St. Joe's, Joey Gaston, coming out party. I think this is the game where it's like they kind of put it all together. They make a lot of plays, throwing it and running it with that trifecta of great running backs they have. And I think this is a matchup for Joe's defense that they match up extremely well against Bergen Catholic. I go with St. Joe's.
You're out of your mind, Sims. Bergen Catholic by two touchdowns. Okay, tomorrow at 1 o'clock, I think I'm going to go to this game.
Yeah.
Okay, at Holy Trinity High School, 5-1, Moore Catholic against 6-0. Holy Trinity, they had that big win against Kellenberg last week. Moore Catholic, biggest win in school history, beat Monsignor Farrell in overtime. John Machowski, great quarterback. You like him a lot.
Yeah.
Who for Moore Catholic? Who wins this game?
He's going to Sacred Heart. He's a really good football player. He's playing outside linebacker for them as well at Moore Catholic, which is awesome. He's tossing people around. But I do think that there's a little bit too much athleticism on the Holy Trinity football team. I'm going with Holy Trinity.
Matthias Leighton for Moore Catholic. Two-way standout, great receiver
great
of the football. Moore Catholic is coming, but they ain't winning.
Oh,
all right,
you did
it's going to be a good game. But here's the thing. If they look ahead, if Holy Trinity looks ahead to the TV game next week against Chaminade, the boys in red from Staten Island will win the game.
With that beautiful Lantech field.
Well, there you go.
Speaking
of Lantech, the picks of the week are built by the Lantech Group, the leader in design, construction, and maintenance of athletic fields and facilities throughout the East Coast, specializing in synthetic turf, natural grass, concrete, fencing, and more. Visit them at thelantechgroup.com. Staten Island Diner, we are coming to you right now. Meet you there, Sims. Breakfast on me.
Toodles.